State Representative J.B. Gill, Franklin County, is on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity to come on. I'm happy for you to have a new home in South Alabama, and I know the folks there are enjoying your political analysis every day.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they get frustrated, at least based on some of the feedback. But you can't please everybody, right? Representative,
right.
I wanted to get you on to talk about a few things, but I think this is something that kind of caught a lot of people by surprise during the election cycle. There was a church, or not a church, but a group called the New South Coalition, and they were targeting churches in Choctaw County to get out to vote and incentivizing it for church pastors or preachers, if you will, to encourage their parishioners to vote absentee, and went as far as advertising this in the local newspaper up in Choctaw County. Representative, your bill would it would tamp down on this kind of behavior?
That's right. Yeah, when I saw the ad, somebody sent me a picture of the ad that was paying churches $6 for every one of their members that went to vote. That just doesn't feel right. And my first question is why is anyone paying anyone to vote? And I know there seems to be a loophole where you can't pay the person directly to vote, but you could pay their church for you to vote. And so, you know, I just don't think that anybody should profit from voting at all. And so that was the beginning of this legislation.
Yeah. And because when you talk, we heard from Secretary of State John Merrill and the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, they were like, well, it's not a good practice, but it's not illegal. So and they went through the reason. So it's a donation, but when I talk to other people about it, it does catch people off surprise, and it does seem as if even if you are offering to a voter directly, you are using you are trying to perhaps change the outcome of an election through this process. So that makes me seems like something. If interpreted improperly and it continued, seems like it could pose a threat to the integrity of elections here in Alabama.
That's right. Yeah, they're paying potential voters, they're not paying them directly, but they're paying the church for them to vote. And it just doesn't seem right. It's a loophole that I hope to close. I think it's a potential for fraud, to be honest. And so we already know it's illegal to pay somebody to vote or to pay somebody not to vote. And I just think that if you're going to spend money on election, on people showing up at the polls, helping them vote, that's great. But to pay a church or any organization for their members to vote individually and to only pay them after those people have proven they have voted. And in this case, not only vote, but vote early. It wasn't about voting. It was about them voting early. And so they had to vote by absentee or they didn't get the money.
Tell me, would it be criminal or civil, or what are the enforcement mechanisms here for to keep this from happening?
Well, it will become a civil issue if it happens. The Secretary of State will, of course, enforce the law, and it will close that loophole. You know, the bottom line is it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. You know, who is advocating for this kind of behavior? It's just too close to being wrong. And I obviously the Secretary of State said that, you know, it's technically not illegal, and we want to make it illegal.
Right. I just think that caught a lot of people off guard. It certainly seems like it ought to be illegal. I kind of wondered this, though, Representative. This kind of thing has been going on in Alabama elections probably for a while. It's just this go-around, these groups were so emboldened enough to put an ad in the local newspaper advertising this, that maybe this is something a little more systemic, but people just weren't aware of it.
Well, you know, we've heard of this kind of thing for years. People just weren't advertising it in the newspaper. And I think when that ad came out that, you know, it became very public. It came out from under the cover of what had been happening all the time to something very public is now happening. And so this is just one of those loopholes that we had probably not been very aware of in the past because it was not made public. And so once publicity hit, again, the question for me is, why is anyone paying anybody to vote? And why are they paying them per head? Why didn't they just give the churches the money beforehand and trust the churches to turn out vote or any organization? You know, we have voter drives and people. I do understand that people in rural areas need transportation to the polls. And so why not provide that transportation as opposed to a per person payout?
A representative, this comes up every now and then in Alabama, but it seems to me like this is a problem Alabama has been dealing with for decades, for a long, long time. It's just this whole, the absentee ballot voting, vote harvesting issue that it's never been quite put to rest. It happens in elections, and I think we saw it. Maybe if my memory doesn't fail me here, there was a Perry County and a Wilcox County probate judge race or two, a few mayoral races where you have questions about where 75% of the vote is absentee ballots or something like that. Do you think we'll ever be to a point where we can really address? Or do you even think it's a problem that it needs to be looked at when we could address the whole absentee voting system in this state?
Well, obviously this election was different because of COVID, and a lot more people voted absentee than is typical. I am interested to see going forward how we police that and if people are allowed to continue to vote absentee at the scale that it was this time. I think early voting is unnecessary. People, we have planned for centuries now to vote, and we know when that day is going to be in November. It happens every 2 years, and people have the opportunity to plan to go to the polls. And in Alabama, we've made it 12 hours, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We require that employers let employee off to go vote if they're going to be at work that whole time. And if they're going to be at work that time, that is a valid reason to vote absentee. But, all this voting early and voting when you want to, I just don't think it's necessary. I think it's our civic duty to vote. I think everybody should go vote. I think it's important enough that on that one day every 2 years that people turn out and go to the poll and vote their conscience, however that might be.
And we saw the process really used in some way, in some places around, particularly down here in Mobile, but I know in Jefferson County, maybe some other places, to kind of turn the absentee ballot process into an early voting day. On Saturday, some courthouses were open, and people were waiting in line, and then, there was the usual election day antics going on in front of these courthouses. That seems to me to be not really in the spirit of that we don't have early voting in Alabama, but it was allowed nonetheless.
Well, it seemed exactly that, and, a lot of people used COVID as an excuse to vote, quote, early or vote absentee, and they were lined up to do that. But the lines I saw were worse for early voting than it was for election day in many places. And so, I'm not sure that it accomplished what the goal was, and that was to keep people who were concerned about catching COVID. I'm not sure that it met that goal by allowing people to line up in long lines. And, they could have done that on election day, the same as they did on a Saturday or a week or two before.
Right, and it still goes on and on and on. Something else I want to talk to you about. We talked a little bit about it. I know you were working to get it on the ballot, and it got on the ballot. The stand your ground provision in churches that was local legislation, and because of some antics from some of your, I guess, Democrat colleagues, that this had to go to a statewide ballot. It looks like you were successful in getting that amendment passed statewide.
That's right. So I sponsored the amendment for both Franklin County and Colbert County, and the one for Franklin County and the one for Lauderdale County, because of just what you mentioned, some Democrat politics in Montgomery had to go on statewide ballot. But what that did do was showed us that there is an interest in that statewide. Out of 67 counties, only 5 counties did not approve for that local legislation in Franklin County. And what the legislation does is allows additional protections to church security teams or people who are at church who protect themselves or others. Now, the traditional stand your ground law does protect someone if you're standing by them or you're in the same room and they're in danger. Of course, you can protect yourself and protect others, but this extends that protection. For instance, someone might have reported to a security team member that there is a danger or a threat in another part of the church campus. So say the church security team member is in the parking lot and finds out that in the nursery area there's some type of threat. Well, if that person rushes to that scene, they're no longer standing their ground. They're actually pursuing a threat. And so we wanted to make sure that our church security teams are you know, not held liable if something were to happen along those lines. You know, a lot of our churches, especially our rural churches, are not near law enforcement. You might call 911 and it take, you know, 15 minutes. It may take 30 minutes in some areas for a deputy on a Sunday morning to get to a church. And so we just wanted to make sure that in the meantime, our church security teams, and those teams are everywhere. After all the church shootings that have taken place, especially one in Texas a couple years ago, you know, churches have formed security teams all over the state and all over the country. And so the goal there was just to make sure that if a church security team member was protecting somebody at church, that they couldn't be held liable for that.
What was keeping this from being a statewide constitutional amendment? Was it just that because obviously you got it accomplished locally? What was causing this not to be a statewide church protection for church security details?
Sure. Well, Representative Lynn Greer has sponsored that legislation in the past and sponsored it this past year. It met some roadblocks in Montgomery statewide, some of the same politics that was involved in what sent my local bill to statewide ballot. It got involved there. I think what this did show, though, by having Franklin and Lauderdale County on a statewide ballot is the widespread support. Over 1 million Alabama voters voted in favor. Although it was just a local bill, they voted in favor of the concept. And I think they would do the same thing if it was statewide. And so I hope it has exposed the need for this legislation, and hopefully we can, my colleagues in Montgomery will see the need and we'll support this for a statewide, and that way every church in Alabama has this protection.
Yeah, won by 71.5% for and 28.5% against. So that's
yeah,
pretty
it was
pretty
overwhelming.
Yeah. Last question before we get you out of here. Right around the corner, the session. Do you know COVID-19 numbers seem to be spiking? Are you worried that I know the governor's come out against the likelihood of another lockdown, that it doesn't seem to have worked. But do you think we're, you know, it doesn't seem as if maybe we're quite turning the corner, that it really going to have to need that vaccine to kick in before we can start rolling back some of the efforts of government to mitigate the pandemic?
Well, hopefully the vaccine is, hopefully we're days away now from it getting to those folks on the front line of fighting the virus, and then we'll be, you know, put out to general public. I did hear an interview that on NPR, one of the drug manufacturers said that his estimation was that we could attain herd immunity as early as May. And so, you know, hopefully we're not too far away from that. You know, in the meantime, people just got to be careful. I mean, you got to use common sense and take some personal responsibility, and, you know, to avoid it, or if you have it, make sure you take care of yourself and get medical attention quickly, and don't delay. As far as the session goes, you know, the session will take place. The Constitution requires it. And I think we should have the session. I think we should have the full session. I was elected to do that. And I feel like that's my responsibility, is to conduct the business of the state and to represent the people in my district. You know, I understand that there are health concerns, but we're undertaking measures now to make sure that our members are safe, that we're socially distant. And so I think the session should and will go on, probably not as normal, but I think it will proceed.
Well, I think you're right, but there's always, you know how that town operates down in Montgomery, with the rumors and speculation. Representative, we're out of time here, but as always, I want to thank you for making time for us.
Jeff, I sure appreciate it.
All right. That was State Representative Jamie Keel of Russellville, ladies and gentlemen.